Ladies and gentlemen, Happy New Year. Welcome back to Offside Hockey Talk. Yes, it's been a little while. Sorry that we haven't been in your ears. And if you're wondering why I'm talking like this, ask Kyle Outridge, because he's seen the video that just went up for the lovely bet we have with Ian Bowe in Titletown Takes. I cut a rock-style promo that, Jamie, you'll be able to see very shortly up online. And, yeah, this has been a great day. We've seen the new divisions names in the NHL. We'll talk about that. We're going to jump into the fact that, hey, the Leafs are looking good, friendly, and all having fun. Everybody feels at home, like Joe Thornton said. And then we'll go around the rinks and see what else is going on. But before we do that, checking in with the crew, Kyle Outridge, how has life been since we last talked?
Oh, man, it's a new year. We made it to 2021. For a lot of us, that's a positive. I'm doing good. Excited to get some hockey going and jacked up for some World Junior gold medal game tonight.
Yeah, buddy. Well, let's see. Mr. Anesty, how's the day going for you?
It's going well, man. It's World Junior Day. Unfortunately, here on the East Coast, the game has to start at 10:30 p.m. Atlantic bubble time.
But hang on.
It's World Juniors.
Let me tell you something. It doesn't start at 10:30. The game starts at 11. The pregame is at 10:30. So move that back a half hour. And don't worry, I'm with you.
Okay.
Because I got to be up at 4:45 in the morning. So like Kyle said, I'm going to be running on golden dreams all day long.
Well, I think 80% of Canadians are going to be calling in sick tomorrow morning.
Yeah, you might have a few no-shows at work.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is the first show of the year, and obviously we're having a lot of fun kicking it off right. The energy is high. Everybody's feeling good. So while we got the topic of conversation right here, right now, want to get a couple predictions out of the boys. We'll try to get this up before the game goes on, and maybe we get Kyle to snip this part here so that way we can toss it up as a little World Junior clip. But I'll go with you, Mr. Anesty. What are you calling the score tonight for Canada-USA?
I'll give you my prediction regulation. So regulation win for Canada 4-2, and if it goes to overtime, 4-3 for Canada. My only doubt with Team Canada, they haven't played the States, they haven't played Sweden, they haven't played tougher games compared to who the States have already played. So I'm kind of worried a little bit. USA did lose the lead last night, but Canada didn't let their foot off the pedal in the last game. So if it's a full 60 minutes by Team Canada, then they roll over Team USA. It's not going to be 5-0. I'm very surprised they beat the Russians 5-0. I'm wondering now if Dubas is kicking himself for picking Amirov in the draft. He did nothing throughout this whole tournament. But there's my prediction. About 4-2 in regulation. If it does go to overtime, Canada does win in overtime 4-3.
Yeah, that's solid. I'm going to go with a 4-1 win. Canada's going to dominate.
Wait. You're going with a team with a maple leaf on their chest and a 4-1 win? Are you cursing us before we get there?
No, it's Canada. This is different. No. This team right here is four lines of in your face. We are going to be all up in your grill all night long.
Calm bullshit right now. Tom Beauchesne, if you can hear this, and he will listen to this after this is recorded, he's not liking the 4-1 prediction.
I'm going to put it to you like this. You know what the shocker is going to be? Is USA is going to score first. That's where it's going to be
0-0 within 10 minutes. Yes, I believe after the first period, it's going to be 2-0 USA.
No, I will give them that big. That Canada's not going to let them out of their hands.
We're trying to get viewers in the States here.
When we got that big basket from Canada winning, I think we'll get all the viewers.
Yeah, I don't want their Dunkin' Donuts. They can keep their Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, we got Jimmy's Donuts over here.
Listen, I'm going to put it to you like this. I like.
Keep their.
I like your close game.
IHOP gift cards, man. I don't want their IHOP gift cards, but you can keep that crap.
I like your close game prediction there, Jamie, and I like your 4-1 enthusiasm, but I said we're going to lay the smacketh down. I put it out there like that. It is going to be a 4-0 drubbing. It's going to be pillar
Holy
to post.
Crap,
it is going to be... I won't say the word.
Coffee mug this morning?
I won't say the word, but it's going to be a 4-0 absolute mauling. It's going to be like a Russian bear just rolling over the Americans, kind of like their election seemed to go. You know, all kinds of tampering and interference going on there. So we're going to be making sure that's 4-0 Canada, picking up the gold medal, picking up a lovely basket from Titletown Takes, and I can't wait. It's going to be absolutely great. And you guys are right. Team Canada has not allowed an even strength goal throughout this entire tournament. Put that in your head. Levi is tied with Mr., I believe it's Pogge, and all of the...
Justin Pogge.
All of the lovely records and save percentages and all that stuff, and he's still got one more game to play. So why not get the old 4-0 and let it roll, boys, because that's what's going to happen tonight. And like I said in the promo, it doesn't go around your waist. It's gold around your neck. It's world junior supremacy respect, and that is what Canada will have tonight.
Yeah, and Levi couldn't go to a better team than Florida. Like, it was so unfortunate Pogge got drafted to the Leafs because they probably threw him under the bus, and that's probably why he only played 5 or 6 games in the NHL. Florida, man, that's a hockey hotbed for, like, guys that, you know, want to hone their game, right? And that's a great place for Levi. And, hey, I've talked to Alan Corkum. You know him very well, Kyle, and he's got all the praise in the world for this kid. Won a Junior A championship. You know, like look at Justin Williams.
Won a silver at the World Junior A, the World Junior A Championship for Canada.
Absolutely. From the kids watching or listening, hey, Justin Williams won Stanley Cups. He played with the Nepean Raiders. Matt Wieger played the Nepean Raiders. Won a Mem Cup. Now in the NHL. So kids, you know, if you're in the Junior A, Junior B, Zach Sill, NHL, right? So I know he was a fighter, and that fighting's gone, but hey, like, coming from Junior A, overlooked in the summer, was only given a shot at the selection camp in November, and shining, and I truly believe he won't turn out to be like Justin Pogge on a Florida Panthers team. He won't be thrown under the bus as quick as he was in Toronto, or as Pogge was in Toronto.
No, I don't think he will either, but you got to remember, Florida's also got another goaltender in the pipeline that is backstopping the Americans tonight in Spencer Knight. So they have both of them.
They're going to have a pretty lethal 1-2 tandem when those two get into the league. Holy
imagine Levi wins the gold medal and then next year has to go to camp with Spencer Knight.
Hey, that's going to be fun at camp.
Wow. Man,
there's definitely going to be some John going on at camp.
Holy shit. Wow.
Oh, you just walk around with that medal around your neck and say, you know what, I'm taking your number one spot and I'm taking the gold medal.
Jonathan Toews won a gold and he beat Patrick Kane. They had to share a locker room, so hey, they made it work.
They did. Well, speaking of making it work, the NHL is now making it work with, you love that beautiful transition right there, you're making it work with the new divisions, obviously got new names out there, and I want to ask you guys, before we get into the names and all that stuff, you see the logos on the helmets, you're seeing the division names, the NHL is selling anything that it can possibly get its hands on to sell to someone. I'm wondering, does it go beyond this season? I'll ask you first, Kyle. For me, I hope it doesn't. I mean, this is a novelty season. Everything's a novelty. You have an all-Canadian division. You have teams that can't travel here, there, and everywhere. So I'm wondering, does it go beyond this division or just this season? And what else do you think is going to be touched upon? Kyle, you first.
Well, I know they're talking about it's just a one-and-done thing, but I don't see it. I do see this carrying over, especially the helmets. Not so much the divisions. I mean, once we're able to travel and things, I think the divisions will go back to the original ones. But as for the sponsorships, I mean, I think people got to understand this is probably going to be a thing for a while because these players want to get paid, the staff need to get paid, and the owners don't want to lose money. So how else do you bring in money without making people lose money? Well, you start selling sponsorships. So I wouldn't be surprised to see the pants getting sold next. You know, I think we're shifting to a point where it's going to be like they do over in Europe, where, you know, they sell the pants, they sell the helmets, they sell some patches on the jersey, whatever they got to do. I'm all for it, man. Whatever brings the money in for the guys and gets them playing and keeps them playing, I'm all for it. I mean, what's a couple logos on a pants or a helmet? I mean, I hear people raving over, oh, the logos on the helmet are too big or this or that. Like, you're not going to be paying attention to that when the game's going on anyway. So who cares? Let them make the money. I think it's going to be the norm. I definitely think the helmet advertising and the pants advertising will be a thing to go on for years to come.
Murder McDavid skate too fast to even see the, when you're in the watching game, they skate too fast to even see the ass
right?
on their pants. Yeah,
it's so, just the border.
It's irrelevant, man. You're going to watch that. You're going to be in awe of how McDavid, Matthews, Murder, and all them kids play. You're going to give it crap if there's ads. I was making a joke last night with James. They're going to skate so fast, I think the stickers are going to fall off their helmets. Right? So, hey, like it's, hey, whatever pays the bills, and I hope someday down the road here at Offside we have Dave Poole, and he played overseas, and he can give you the gist of the ads. At one point, they ran out of room. They had to sell ads on the seat of his pants, right? So, hey, whatever pays the bills, there's no concessions, there's no fans paying astronomical prices for beer sales. So, hey, you got to make money somewhere, and the ads make sense.
No, they definitely do, and like I said, I know that they're going to be going beyond the season. I don't want them to, you know, not a purist, but, you know, you just look at things and you like the way the clean look the NHL has always been. It's been so clean. But now, once you dip your toe in the water, you don't take your toe back out. You put more of it in and you get fully submerged. So I could see what Kyle was saying about the pants. I could see them, you know, maybe because they show the gloves so much, maybe something sewing into the gloves of each player. No. Different things, you know, maybe a mouth guard sponsorship for per team, you know, some, you know, you could put the name across the mouth guard, whatever, you know, there's all kinds of different things you could do. Look what the, World Juniors did with the skates with the flags, you know, so you can definitely, have a clip on to each skate or something, or a patch or whatever on a skate. You know, how many times through a broadcast do they talk about, you know, this guy's skating or that guy's skating, and, you know, you zoom in on that and, hey, it's a Geico sponsor or whatever it is, you know, Intact Insurance, Old Navy, you name it, Toys R Us. You can have anything on there. And, I mean, that's more money for the team, more money for the league, more revenue you split between the players and et cetera, and like I said, once you dip your toe in the water, you don't pull it back out. You go in further, and that's going to be the unfortunate part of this. I just do not want them to go full Swiss League, you know, advertisements everywhere, and you can't see the logo. I don't want to infringe on the Maple Leaf, on, you know, the Habs logo as much as we don't like that team. You know, even the Spoke B for the Bruins. Think of that all swamped in logos. It doesn't make any sense to me. You know, those logos are cherished. You know, you want to go helmets, yeah. You want to go gloves, you want to go skates, you want to go pants, fine. But the actual sweater, aside from maybe a little patch on the chest or something, I'd leave that alone.
The four biggest sponsors are like the Discovery, the Mass Mutual, the Scotia, and the Honda. So that's a big enough company. Just to have a little sticker on the helmet, hey, you're showing off the sponsorship there. I think that's solid. And, you know, you see it in Junior B, James. Yourself too, Kyle. They're on the side of the shoulder. We represent the Nova Scotia Junior Hockey. We've got our logistics company. We've got them on the back. I could see them on the back below the number in the NHL. Like, have, you know, like, I don't know, 7-Eleven or whatever it's in Toronto at the bottom of the number, number there. So, hey, there's places. It's very well shown in Junior B, Junior A in Ontario, in Nova Scotia. So, hey, just we have enough ads on our jerseys, and maybe that's enough, right? Just on the shoulders or the bottom of the number, you know, on pants and all that crap. You know, Joe Thornton, you can ask him. He just came over from Switzerland or played HC7191, whatever team he played on, and he can give you the gist of the ads, right? So, hey, it's whatever pays the bills, but you're right, James. I don't want to see it plastered, and then, you know, you don't really have that true traditional value left in that jersey. It's Leafs jersey is something that's been around for 100 years or so. You don't want it plastered in advertisements.
No, definitely don't. Well, speaking of the Leafs, obviously, we'll jump into that now. We haven't talked about the Leafs for a while, but we finally have we haven't talked for so long. We actually have a season start date. Training camp has started. You listen to the media availabilities. I'm going to ask you guys a bunch of questions. I'll throw my opinion at the end of it. First one right out of the gate. Sheldon Keefe didn't get asked any question about lineup, where he's going to play players. So he took upon himself at the end of his media availability to say, hey, you guys never asked me about the lines and where I'm going to play players. But Joe Thornton will be playing with Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner. And Jimmy Vesey will be playing with William Nylander and John Tavares. So I want to ask you guys right out of the gate, you think of those two lines, and we see what Joe Thornton's able to do. We know his age. We know everything. We know how he's feeling, apparently. Same with Simmons. But I'm wondering, do you guys like seeing two players that were not a part of this roster in your top six when you had a guy like McKeith who did so well and other players? And like I said, I'll throw mine in the end. But, Kyle, what do you think about the proclamation from the coach?
Well, I like it. I mean, listen, we all know Jumbo Joe. He's a playmaking guy. He's gonna pass the puck, and he's a big body on the puck, and he's a hard body to move off the puck. So when you got Matthews and Marner, and you're trying to find them space, and you're trying to find a way to get them more open ice, why not throw Jumbo Joe on their line and let him sauce some pucks over, go get those pucks in the corner, be a net foot presence that's just going to take up a whole bunch of ice and take up eyesights and take away the goalie's eyes. I mean, I love it. I think it's great. And I mean, let's not get crazy. Keith has come out and said his minutes will be managed. So, I mean, it's not like he's going to be playing, you know, top line minutes every game, every night of the season. I mean, you're going to see guys move up and down and there's going to be some rotation, but for what it is to start, I'm excited to see it. I mean, just think of big 97 out there and Marner and Matthews just getting to skate around with all this open ice. And let's not be stupid. I don't see anybody taking any cheap shots on that line anytime soon. You won't see Marner getting checked from behind or Matthews because, well, you're going to have that beard and Jumbo Joe in your face real quick. So, and I also heard it said, you know, you get these guys like, you know, last year and the years before, as many people say we cry about penalties and not getting penalties called, it's the truth. I mean, the Leafs have had the worst luck when it comes to having penalties called for us, okay, on other teams. So now instead of having Matthews or Marner, you know, a kid, in a sense, to some of these refs, going up to the refs complaining, well, now you send Jumbo Joe over there. Let Jumbo Joe have a conference with the refs, you know what I mean? Let him get in their ear. The guy that with so much respect, he's been in the league forever. I mean, it all works. And I mean, if he can be any kind of production on that line and just getting pucks and getting the boys into open ice, I think it's well worth the shot. I love it. I'm pumped. Let's go.
Jamie, what do you think, buddy?
A few question marks on my end here. Like, yes, Joe Thornton on the top line. Toronto's a puck possession team. My only worry is it's going to happen. You're going to play 10 games in 17 days or 18 days or however many days. That's going to happen. Now, can Thornton live up to expectations on that top line in 17 games in 12 days or have it works out? Right now, we're just in the camp. We've got to really just see how the first game against Montreal Canadiens, which happens on January 13th, we've got to just wait it out, see what happens. But moving away from Thornton for just one second, I'm a little skeptical on the bottom pairing. Like they have
Hold on. We'll jump to that in a minute. We're gonna terrorize these two lines first. We don't want to jump down there, jump the lineup, so to speak. But I'll give you my two on this. So these two lines, you look at them and you see, okay, Thornton's there, VC's there. You look at the players down low, and you're right, Kyle. They're going to be a circle. They're going to be a blender, if you will. It's going to be thrown together. And yeah, you've seen it against Columbus. You've seen players come in and out of lines and switch up on lines. And it's going to be something different you can throw every single time. Now, will you have set formation with Thornton? Yes. But will Thornton always be there? No. You'll throw somebody else out there, like a McKeith, who's showing he can play up the lineup, or a Simmons, or you name it. Zach Hyman, you know he's good on those lines. But you have Thornton there for what you said, for not just namesake, but the respect sake. Players like Thornton and Marleau and Sidney Crosby, Patty Kane, Johnny Toews, may his season get back on track with the health as well. But you look at those things, those players have the respect in the league. So if they're on a line with Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner, that respect factor is there. Like you said, they won't get run, they won't get mauled, they won't get bowled over. And if they do happen to get bowled over, well, then you got Wayne Simmons coming over the boards with Jake Muzzin and probably Zach Bogosian as a unit, you know, on a forward line that probably has Spezza and Hyman on it. But I'm really excited to see what Jimmy Vesey can bring, because there was so much hype around this guy. Now you get a chance to play with two bona fide players who could put points up in John Tavares and William Nylander. And if he can stick and stay there, I'm pretty damn excited to see what Vesey can bring, because he didn't get a fair shake. Nobody really did in Buffalo last year. But I think in this team here, with so much skill, speed, and everything there, I think you can really shine and not really have to worry about too much on the back end of things. And that's the other thing with Thornton going up with Matthews and Marner. Thornton already said that he'd be the guy to hang back and let those guys be able to do their offensive thing and cover up for them defensively. And we know what Thornton can do with a big stick and the big body. So if he's there and able to allow those things to happen, then you have two lines that are really able to be cohesive. And, Jamie, to get down on those bottom two lines, I mean, I'm not excited that Babaranov or Babarinov or whatever his name is. I'm going to call him Babar. You know?
Ballerina.
You know, I'm very... He's there, but, you know, I know he's been in camp for an extra couple of weeks or whatever. Congratulations. But I think a guy like Nick Robertson probably deserves that line. But here's what I've said to you guys all along. You cannot have Nick Robertson riding on your third and fourth line. That's not what they built this team to look like this year. They don't want all that skill in the bottom six. They want the skill up top. So you have a guy like Nick Robertson that probably will rotate in and out with a guy like Jimmy VC or Joe Thornton. But you won't see him in the bottom six, and that's why he's not there. And everybody's screaming and crying, well, you kept him from the World Juniors. He didn't get to play with Team USA and help them win. He didn't get that experience. No. But at the same time, he is going to get a chance to play with this team. Look, Pierre Engvall was a part of this team last year. Everybody loved the giraffe. And now the giraffe is back at the zoo.
He's a possible odd guy out this year, too.
He's on the fifth line. But here's the thing. We have a taxi squad for a reason. We have these extra players for a reason. It's a condensed schedule, like you guys just alluded to. So you're going to need these players. You're going to need them to fill in your lineup when a guy is nicked or banged up and you're playing three and four nights. It's going to happen. You're going to need to have these guys in there. And why would it not hurt? Because it certainly doesn't seem to me to have younger guys ready to step in. Younger guys who have not made their impact yet, but you want them to make an impact. And how hungry will they be to prove you right and to make their mark when they get a chance in the lineup? And a guy that comes to mind every single time, I don't know if you guys remember Boyd Devereaux, but every time he got called up from the Marlies, the guy would damn well score. It was almost a running joke.
Brad Boyd is the same way. Brad Boyd is the same way.
So these guys come up and they score because they're hungry and they're young and they want it. Now you have a taxi squad where you need these guys there.
Yeah, and you got to remember, I mean, like the same situation with Sandin last year, right? And burning a year of the ELC. You got to remember, this year it's seven games, I believe, burns a year of the ELC. So what do you want to do? Do you want to bring him up, have him run the third, fourth line, get garbage minutes and not get much production and not be able to settle in? Or, you know, you keep him because if he's on the taxi squad, he's not burning a year until he starts playing, right? So, I mean, you have to have these guys. Like, this is the thing. Like, it's a 56-game season or whatever. I think it's 56 games is what we're doing. And, I mean, you're going to have guys who are going to get bumps. You're going to have guys who are going to get bruises. So you need those guys that are going to be able to slot in and be, you know, productive or be able to jump up and down the lineup wherever the injuries may happen, right? So to have Robertson in camp and not in the top lineups for camp lines, I mean, it's not a big worry. I mean, you're going to see Nick Robertson this year. Let's not care. You're going to see him in a game. You're going to see him in a few games. But I really think they're hesitant on taking him in and having him ride the full year and burning that first year of his ELC, when next year we're going to likely, hopefully, and all things go correct, be back to a normal season. And then you can have him play normally, have him on the Marlies, wherever the case may be, if AHL is able to come back. So, I mean, I've seen it. I'm like, what do you mean Nick Robertson's not in there? But when you think about it and you talk to some people, I mean, it's not a stupid decision by Dubas and company to have him there, have him learning, have him molding with the team, and then whenever we need him, he's available. So, I mean, people are going to say, well, he's too good. Well, yes, he is too good. But think of what he's going to be next year when he gains a little more size, a little more muscle, when he's not, you know, when he's not so new. Like, I mean, he did good in the bubble. And what little action we've seen him in, I was happy with what we've seen him in. I think he's going to be a great player. And he's going to be able to move up and down the lineup for us. And I think we have a few more guys on the way that are going to be able to do the same. So I don't think, you don't want to look in too much into it as he's being demoted or he's not going to get his chance. He's going to get his chances. It's Nick Robertson. The kids show he can play. He's going to get his chances, but I think they're really trying to manage burning years on ELCs. Like, I mean, we just did it with Rasmus Sandin. So, you know what I mean? Like, what do you do? Do you want these guys burning years just to have them sit down? I mean, he's young. He's got lots of time. Don't rush him. We don't need to rush him because we need him for the long haul. So I'm not too worried about it. I think it's gonna be good, and I think we're gonna see a lot of Nick Robertson.
Yeah, they didn't go to Team USA for a reason. I know there was a.
And that was his point too. Right? You got to remember, he wanted to be here. He wanted to be training. He wants to try and make this team or the taxi squad. Sorry, dude.
Yeah, and of course, Kubiak goes to Team Canada and gets hurt. Lafreniere goes to Team Canada and gets hurt. Hey, you know. Does Robertson make Team USA better? If he plays tonight with Team USA versus Canada, I'm shaking in my boots. I'm like, wow, they got Nick Robertson, Caulfield, and Zegras. Oh, man, like that would have been dynamite. You can't just rely on Cousins. But, hey, we're not going to get into that. But, hey, like, as I was saying, the Barabanov, I've talked to some great sources in the last week through the Hockey News, and right now they're leaning towards Engvall being the odd guy out, maybe because of salary issues or something like that. But hey, they're going to have that rotating door on the fourth line, and Robertson needs to be with a guy that can, maybe Tavares, a guy or Thornton. Like, that's what they thought. Robertson was going to be with Thornton, so he can feed them the pocket, give them some points. I strongly believe Robertson may get 18 to 20 odd points. He can still do that. And I don't even know if we're going to have time to get into Amirov. I've been really disappointed in this World Juniors. I've been watching a lot of the prospects for the Leafs, and maybe that'll be a conversation for another day. But for right now, like, it's seeming that Engvall's the odd guy out. And then best tweet I've seen all day, Marincin is not part of the group one pairings at practice. Best tweet I've seen all day.
How is he still on the run?
This is the best thing that actually happened. Ray Ferraro and Darren Dreger has now come over to the podcast, and they're able to answer viewers' questions. I sent a question in today. How much more time do we have to see Marincin in a Leafs jersey? And I hope someday they answer the question, and then that'll kind of put the end to it, because they know their stuff. So I really hope they can answer that and put an end to this, because, like, how much longer do we got to see Marincin at Leafs camp, or even in a Leafs jersey? And my Leafs, and AHL starts February 5th. I can't come soon enough, because that's definitely where he's going.
Well, you look at this, and finally the Leafs go to camp, and Mart Marincin is no longer a savior in their top six or seven. He's now the ninth or tenth best defenseman we have available. So that speaks volumes. Another guy that I want to touch on right quick for the Maple Leafs, and we're going to wrap this relatively soon, but hey, Mikko Lehtinen comes over, and obviously point per game guy over in the KHL. A lot of hype, a lot of praise. Everybody's wondering how the game will translate over here. Everybody's hoping we found the defensive version of Panarin, you know, our diamond in the rough. Wondering for you guys, what is a realistic expectation? And we need to, in this city, really temper down when we have a prospect or someone who's doing really well, temper down the expectations and not instantly think they're a bust or a failure if they don't work out immediately. But for me, I look at Mikko Lehtinen and say, this is a guy that'll probably play in our top six somewhere, probably get a little power play cookies to get his feet wet, and it'll be a guy that we don't rely on, but it'll be a guy that is steady for us when we need to bring him in and out of the lineup. And who knows, he may earn his full-time spot, but I'm thinking Travis Dermott's really going to want to say something this year. But guys, what do you think? Mikko Lehtinen, here to stay or a bust?
Well, I think he's here to stay. Yeah, I mean, this guy's a real deal. He's not. Let's not get crazy. He's not going to be. He's not going to be the production that he was doing overseas. But he's going to be reliable. He's going to move the puck. He's going to be able to, you know, slot in on a power play, probably second unit wherever Keith decides to use him. I think he's a real deal. I think he's definitely going to stay. I'm excited to see what he can do.
I agree totally with what Kyle just said. But he is. As of today, January 4th, the defensive pairing, he is paired up with Bogo. So, hey, Sandin, Dermott, Lehtinen, Bogo, Muzzinhall, Riley, and Brody are today's defensive pairings for Group 1. And like I just said, we don't see Martin Marincin on that Group 1. So, really, this Group 1 pairings, Barbaroff with Spets and Simmons is what we will probably see January 13th. I think Barbaroff, Engvall, and Robertson kind of switch spots. I don't see Mikheyev, Kerfoot, Hyman, Nylander, Tavares, BC, Matthews, Marner, and Thornton being separated. So I think it's just the Barbaroff left wing that gets shifted around. And then I think defensive pairings and what you'll kind of see January 13th, at least my prediction. But hey, I'm not at Leafs camp, so I can't really tell you who's good or who doesn't right now. So.
We'll have a great insight come Friday as Terry Koshan will join the show and break down what is happening at Leafs camp and everything going on inside and out. So we'll be able to get some real questions in there and figure out who looks good, who doesn't. I mean, there's going to be a lot of chatter amongst the media members. So we'll get an honest opinion out of Terry. But I look at this team and for once, and it seems like, and I said this to you guys in the summertime, this may be the first season, there isn't a dark cloud other than COVID. Obviously, come on, guys, I know that's there. But you look at this season, there's no dark cloud around the Maple Leafs. There's no contract dispute. Everybody's signed. Everybody's here. Everybody who's come in is excited to be here. Joe Thornton saying it feels like home. You got Bogosian happy. You got Simmons saying he can't believe he's playing here, how wonderful the organization already is, and they haven't played a single game yet. You know, and you got all of these guys who have quarantined together with Joe Thornton, Matthews, and Nylander and Sandin and Mac Hollowell. All these guys were together hanging out for 2 weeks while they quarantined before the season. So there is a cohesiveness already, and these guys are starting to play off one another and have fun. So I think that's something that's been missing. And, you know, Jen hasn't been on for a little bit, but that's something she said that we were missing, you know, is the fun around the game, making hockey fun for these guys. And it's been such a daunting task to be a Maple Leaf lately because everybody had a contract, and then there was Babcock, and then there was, we didn't play this guy, and then there was a pandemic, and then there was, hey, we're in a bubble, then we didn't beat Columbus, and the sky is falling, and Freddie is leaving, oh no, Freddie's staying, so now everything seems calm, the water seems clear and calm and ready for us to go on a trek. Guys, I want to ask you right here today, before we go any further, the Toronto Maple Leafs, where do they finish in your minds in the Canadian division this year?
Top spot.
Kyle?
You know we're homers, so where we're gonna put them. But anyways, go ahead, Kyle.
No, I believe they're gonna be in the top spot. It's not gonna be an easy road to get there. Don't get me wrong. We're gonna have some tough battles. But I think for the most part, when this team gels and this team gets going in full strength, this team's gonna be something to mess with, and I think people are going to be shocked. You're going to see Toronto up on top this year. And, I mean, for me, I'm not worried about the season. It's the playoffs. And I think we're going to get there. We're going to get there on top. We're going to have a favorable matchup. But, you know, we're still going to have to put in some work. But I do see Toronto on top at the end of the season.
I see Toronto being second to Calgary. Some reason I feel like...
Get out of here.
I feel like Calgary got their goaltending solved up. And that was their Achilles heels for so long. That was their Achilles heels for so long. They shored up their defense as well, you know, adding Tanev and doing different things. So I think that you got to watch Calgary this year, man, with goaltending. It's a thing they haven't had.
If Markstrom can quickly play under that system in Calgary, hey, if he can do it, I follow Peter Lombardi's quite a bit, and he's covers of Calgary Flames, and he said, like, if Markstrom can, you know, quickly figure out that program in Calgary, then, hey, it works. It's, right now, he's probably the best goalie besides Carey Price, and Montreal did improve the most in the last couple months, so I got him at first. Hey, this is the least effort program, but I've got the Montreal Canadiens at first. Toronto's right around third place. But hey, look at the St. Louis Blues. They crapped the bed right till Christmas and turned it around. But hey, does Leaf Clan have that much patience? If we crap the bed around Christmas, we're going to be all over these guys. So hey, it's either, you know, come out of the Woodbine gate pretty quickly in first place, or it's going to be, I can't say the word on I can't say the word, but it's going to be messy pretty quick if Toronto doesn't jump off the gate pretty first place. So I'd say it's Leaf playing. Nobody really has patience, but I say third. Give third or fourth is a safe bet at this point.
FYI, this just dropped. Dennis Malgin, Toronto, is on waivers, folks.
Bam! The Malgin Express is leaving Toronto.
Just reported by Elliot Friedman himself.
Jeez, the Malgin era is over. No more Malgin.
There was no room for him. That's the same thing. Like, we won't get into why Toronto didn't sign Corey Perry. Like, Corey Perry, hey, he would have been lovely at number 10. Or actually, couldn't wear 10 because some Kennedy guy from back in the 60s wore 10, so he can't even wear 10. But, hey, he would have been lovely in Toronto, but you got no room for Corey Perry. $750,000, a little, nice little deal, but, let the young guys have that spot, right? And that would have taken that Robertson spot for sure if we had Perry.
Well, we'll look at it like this. We can't wait for the season to get going. Obviously, it's the first show of the new year. Everything's getting back up to speed, and ladies and gentlemen, obviously, we're having fun with it. So bear with us, and we work out the kinks and get all the scheduling done. But we should be back in your ears on Friday. Enjoy the gold medal game tonight. Enjoy the camp for the rest of the week. And like we said, special guest dropping by Friday is Terry Koshan. Very exciting times. But ladies and gentlemen, that is Offside Hockey Talk for today. And this is Offside Hockey Talk, where hockey comes to talk.